When I had talked to you before about starting to work at Lockheed, you had told me that before you went to work at Lockheed, you had been working for some radio.
Packardville and Gilson.
Uh-huh. And then it was a neighbor that told you about the job at Lockheed? Or?
Well, all the girls were going out there, and a neighbor came along one day and said, they're hiring all those women out there, all the boys are going to work, you might as well go out there and get a job. But it was so far out, I didn't want to go. But he says, I'm coming by here Monday morning. If you're not ready, I'll get you out of bed. So I was ready, and I went out there and put my application in.
Mm-hmm.
And it rained that day, and all my application, the ink ran a little bit. But after they interviewed me, it had soldering on it in big red letters, so I knew that's going to be interviewed, you know, or they would be have a job for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was home and heard about the war, and they went to bomb Pearl Harbor, I knew that day I was going to go to work at Lockheed.
Mm-hmm. So you had actually gone down to apply before the...
Yeah, I applied in about September before December. I was hired in December. Was hired on my birthday, but I didn't take it that day. I went out that night with my boyfriend and... Mm-hmm. The next day I went to work, and I went to work on a swing shift,
mm-hmm.
50 cents an hour.
Oh,
big deal. I thought it was, well, it was the best thing I ever did.
Was it making more than you had made at the...
No, I made a lot of money on it, but the radios, you know, they have just certain seasons, and then they lay you off, and you have, mm-hmm. while they're wanting everybody, they'll hire you, and then... when they get their quota made, when they stop.
Mm-hmm. So that work...
was piecework, you know, and it went fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I made lots of money on it.
So at the radio places, they paid you by how many...
Well, I made about $35 a week, and I thought that was me
uh-huh.
in those days.
Uh-huh. And you were still living with your parents at the time?
I was living with my mother, uh-huh.
Okay, so when you first went to, let's say that when your neighbor told you that coming by, now did this neighbor already work at Lockheed?
Yes, he did.
Uh-huh. Is he in the same area? Or?
No, I never saw him after that. I went to work I went to work for Vega.
Mm-hmm.
But, Vega combined with Lockheed, and we all had a clock number,
mm-hmm.
and those that worked at Vega started with a 9, and those that worked at Lockheed started with an O,
mm-hmm.
their numbers on their clocks,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way you could tell them.
Yeah, so you were at the Vega plant.
That's where they put me, uh-huh,
uh-huh.
because it was just starting up.
Oh, I see. Now, how did your family react to the idea?
They didn't like it. I had long hair, and I cut my hair, and I was in the doghouse for a long, long time. Everybody had their hair cut but me, and they'd say, that quaint girl over there, that old-fashioned girl over there. And so I was starting a new job and a new life, and so I went and had my hair cut, but they were all mad at me. They weren't. And then they just knew I was going to get bombed out at Lockheed
uh-huh.
with the war coming on.
Uh-huh.
So I said, well, what's the difference? But I had more protection out there than they did at home,
mm-hmm.
really, because they had all kinds of equipment, and they had the place camouflaged with, if you can't believe it, chicken feathers, and it was on wire fencing,
mm-hmm.
and when it rained, you get all that chicken feathers, and you smell like a dead chicken. Then they had along on the walls, they had great big trees planted. They were painted on there like a tree, you know, and
uh-huh.
camouflaged.
Uh-huh.
So you didn't know it was there. And they had bomb shelters that was out by the railroad track. And
mm-hmm.
and they'd have war things. They'd blow a lot of whistles, and you'd go under tables, and they had blackouts, what they call blackouts.
Mm-hmm. So did they drill the workers?
Oh, yeah, we all were drilled.
So your family was worried that you would be, part of it was that they were worried that you would be bombed, and what, the other was that you cut your hair, or?
Oh, well, that was a sad thing. I don't think they cared to mother that I was bombed, but I cut my long hair.
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was it.
Were those their only objections, or did they object to you working in a factory at all?
They didn't care, so I worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When you first went to work there, what were your, say when you went in to fill out your applications, what were your expectations or ideas about what it might be like to work there?
Well, when it was soldering, I knew I could solder, you know, and had wire. I'd hear from all these girls that went out there because their husbands worked out there and they went out with their husbands. And I knew I would have to solder things that I was used to soldering. Mm-hmm. And I was the first girl in the whole department that got a raise, and I was so smart, I got this piece of paper, and I go around and ask the girls, what's this? And they said, oh, you got a raise. How come you got a raise and we've been here longer than you have? But they gave us a test, and I passed on the solder because it was a great big knot gauge wire, mm-hmm. which is a large wire in a lug, and they put it in a vise, and I saw how they did it. And it was very easy to me. And then they had charts, and we were making bomb boxes and all kinds of boxes that went into the airplane. Mm-hmm. And they'd give you a chart with a complete picture of how it was supposed to be, and you're supposed to put all these wires in. Well, that was nothing to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I was just lucky.
Mm-hmm. So, had you been there very long before that happened, or before they gave you the raise?
Well, I don't know how often they give us a raise, about once a year or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, let's say when you were going to be interviewed at this time, your friend, did he drive you over to a place right on the plant?
Well, he took me to Lockheed, and he went on to work, and then there's a office where they interview everybody, and when your turn comes, you write out application, and then they interview you.
Mm-hmm. Were there many people there the day that you were applying?
Not too many, And then another thing, I had to take a physical, mm-hmm. and I never had a physical in all my life, so I didn't know what was that. And you're supposed to wear a dress and an underskirt and your panties and shoes and stockings. Mm-hmm. And they told me take off my dress, and we're all in our underskirts, and then you lay down on a bench, and they test your heart and your pulse, and mm-hmm. and I was so shook up. They had to calm me down a little bit because mm-hmm. I didn't know what was going to happen to me,
mm-hmm.
but that was all right.
Did you do that in a group?
Well, they have a regular hospital there, nurses and doctors and everything. Yes. Yeah, you have first aid all the time, and they have the big ambulance and fire departments and mm-hmm. and security guards and everything.
Mm-hmm. Were there many other women applying at the same time you were?
Well, that particular day, there was a girl I knew that was applying, but she didn't get hired,
mm-hmm.
and I have saw her since. She married some fellow, and he just died in Arizona, and she came up here and stayed a week with me, and her husband was in the hospital, but he finally passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's first and last time I see her.
Mm-hmm.
But I got hired, she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wanted typing and that sort of thing, and that wasn't what they were hiring that day.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't seem to need clerical people?
No, they didn't. They mm-hmm. wanted workers.
Mm-hmm. Were there many women who wanted to work in you end up working, I guess, in electrical kinds of work then, or?
Well, I think there was about 8 of us or 10 or something like that
mm-hmm.
at first.
Uh-huh. Did those women seem to have had experience?
No.
Uh-huh. So you were one of the only ones?
I was the only one that had had any electrical, and that was making little radios and assembling parts. We had assembly line. You put so many parts in, and then they push it down, and the next girl puts so many in it. They have little metal chassis, what they call, and then they put these components in. They do it all different now. They have.
Mm-hmm. So, at the time when you were hired, did they give you any kind of test on your mechanical abilities or your skills?
I didn't get that, but later on they did. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But they did have you take a physical.
Oh, yes, they had to have a physical.
Did they talk to you at that point, say, when you went in to be applied, did they talk to you about pay or benefits or anything?
They just told me I was going to be on a swing shift, and that was it. And a lot of people, you know, later on wouldn't take swing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the best thing because you got seniority and you got to know how all these things, and there's no supervision or foremans or people coming down while watching you. You're there with your supervisor and foreman, and he has all the prints and everything what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have as many as, say, people from head offices?
No, there's nobody browsing around like that, like later on they did.
Now, did, so had you ever worked a swing shift before that? Or?
No, never had.
Was that a big change for you, I mean, in terms of getting used to arranging?
Well, I used to go home, and I'd be at home about 1 o'clock, and I'd go right straight to bed, and then I'd get up about 11, and I had breakfast, and put up my lunch, and about 2, I was on my way to work, so I didn't have much activities, and we worked 6 days a week. We only had Sunday off. And during the war, we only had 2 days off, 2 Sundays off a month.
So you sometimes would work,
Well, see, they had 3 different shifts.
Mm-hmm.
The days, the swing, and the graveyard. But they didn't have a graveyard when I first started, or I've probably been on graveyard.
Mm-hmm. So, now, did you have to, after they interviewed you, How long was it before they expected you to report back in?
They said they'd let me know, and that I had that interview in September, and I wasn't hired until December.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent you a telegram that you to report for work and where to go.
Uh-huh. Now, the day you were interviewed, though, they did, like, soldering down on
you. On my application, I got a great big red letter, soldering. So I knew I was going to be hired for soldering.
Mm-hmm. Did you, during that 2-month time, did you... Or it's almost 3 months between when you went in.
I'm still working at Packer Bell.
I see. Did you think that maybe they weren't going to hire you after all during that period, or did you?
I didn't think any more about it. I was happy at Packer Bell because there weren't too many down there, and we had music going, and Mr. Bell was a fine gentleman. He'd have. Well, he'd bring you in Cokes and hamburgers, and we could have coffee and things that he'd bring you in at lunchtime or your break.
Mm-hmm.
And they were real fine people. They'd put on a show, like at Christmas time, they'd put on a show, and everybody gets a part.
Mm-hmm.
And another girl and I, we was Brenda and Kobina, and I don't know what that was all about now, but... For years, we wrote to each other, Dear Brenda and Dear Kabina. I don't know where she happened to go now.
Uh-huh. So they had, at Packard Bell, they would have these shows, and did the employees pretty much know each other?
Oh, yes, uh-huh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
They had regular assembly lines, and
mm-hmm.
they stack all these metal boxes. The boys made the metal boxes solder them, well, bend them and put the holes and things in them, and then they'd set them in a stack, and then we'd ever line up, and you'd get a in front of you would be one chassis that with the parts that you'd have to put in, and you'd have to cut them
mm-hmm.
and fit them in there just like they had in this here sample in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd go down the line, there was about 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got to Packard, I got to Lockheed, we had these big lines where we did big harnesses with long wires.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend, she's at the foot head of the line, and I'm at the back, you know. So she'd swing those things down to her, and I could solder fast, and she'd give me more wires and put me at the end, and then I'd have to run up there and give her the chassis, and so she could put another one in and come down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them really working out there. But it was fun.
Okay.
It was good. Everybody was anxious to work and honest. You know, we were all friends and still friends to this day.
Mm-hmm. You're saying at Lockheed?
Lockheed, uh-huh.
Did, when they told you that you were hired, they sent you a telegram, did you say? Uh-huh. And asked you to report in?
Yes.
What kinds of things did you have to do to get ready to go to work today?
You had to wear slacks, and I had never had any one pair of slacks. So I had to go buy myself a pair of slacks.
Mm-hmm. So you had worn slacks before?
No, I had never.
Oh, never. That was your first
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
As Pachelbel, I could wear a wash dress or a house dress or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice and cool, and they had fans and everything to go, and nice music, and
mm-hmm.
oh, it was just like a big family. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to leave there.
Yeah.
But then it was the best thing I ever did, because later on they had to close down.
Mm-hmm. So you, did you have to make plans for transportation?
No, the Asbury bus ran on San Fernando Road, and I just walked down there and bought a $2 pass
mm-hmm.
and rode to Lockheed, and then we'd get out there at night and you'd ride home. And I just had to walk 2 blocks from home.
So the buses ran?
Yeah. Well, later they had company buses, but I always had to ride the Asbury because that was it. And then the fellow, one time I had a driver, he wasn't going to let me ride.
Mm-hmm.
So the passes were $2, and I had a red corduroy raincoat,
mm-hmm.
and I went down and I bought some red socks for 15 cents at the dime store, and I waved this $2 at him and showed him my red socks. He stopped the bus like that, so he never gave me any trouble anymore after that. Well, they only stop in certain places, but
uh-huh.
see, he didn't want to stop where I was being picked up, and then he didn't want to let me off there at night.
Uh-huh.
But,
so the red socks flagged him down.
It was the red socks, and that night it rained, and my red socks dye got all over my feet. I couldn't get the red out for a long time.
So you had to do the, to get there, basically most of the time you used the city buses then?
Yes, they had Asbury.
Uh-huh. Did you have to get any special tools?
Oh, I have lots of tools even yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have cutters and screwdrivers and, all kinds of tools.
Mm-hmm.
I have toolboxes full of tools, different places to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very handy to have your own tools, you don't have to run around. But they have a big tool crib where you get many things out of there. You get soldering irons and everything.
Mm-hmm. Did you, you had those tools from working at Packard Bell, or did you have to buy them?
I didn't have to buy any tools. I only had cutters and dykes at Packard Bell, so I still had those, and I took them to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and they had a tool store across the street, and then you went over there and bought all your tools you wanted.
Mm-hmm. Did Lockheed own that tool store?
I don't know whether they did or not.
Uh-huh.
I went over there and paid cash for them, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know. He didn't charge anything to the Lockheed.
Did they tell you, you a list of what you would need?
At first they did. Oh, a ratchet set is what you needed, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ratchet set. I still have it.
Who did you have to report to that first day?
Hmm?
Did the telegram tell you where to report the first day?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Where did you go to personnel or to where in the plant did they send you?
Well, I don't know. There was a man had a whole bunch of us, and we all went to different departments, and he'd take us all in a group to this department. You go here, and you go there, and you go this other one. So I don't know now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way they bring them in so many at a time.
When they brought you in together, did they give you any kind of orientation to working there, or?
Well, they told you how to, you'd have a clock that you had to, with your name and things on it, you had to clock in every day and you had to clock out every night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went to another plant or something, you'd have to clock out there and you'd have to have permission. You couldn't go from one area to another.
Mm-hmm. So they did set down some basic.
Oh, yes, you had. You had rules.
So he just sort of took everyone around and dropped them off at their different departments?
Yes, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Were there other women in that larger group that you were with?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
I think my department at that time was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them wouldn't work in 7.
But
didn't. Hmm? They thought it wasn't a lucky number. I don't know.
Huh.
Uh-huh. But that never bothered me. I never thought anything about it.
Yeah. Now, the day when you went in, in the group of people that were being sent to these different departments, were they men and women?
Oh, yes, mostly men.
Uh-huh.
Older men.
Uh-huh.
Because the young ones were going to war.
Did you get any reactions from the men who were in the plant about women coming in? Or?
Whistles. That whistles everywhere I went.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them resented the women coming in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in the electrical department, nearly all the people are women because
mm-hmm.
their hands are smaller and they can do those little jobs better. And the other men have to drill and lift heavy things and that sort of thing, and it was the right place.
Mm-hmm. Did most of the women that were with you, say, that day when you were first coming in, did they also go to electrical, or did they end up going to
No,
room?
Not all of them.
Uh-huh.
I don't think, maybe I was the only one, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago, dearie.
Yeah.
Back in 41.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they took you to your department, and then with other people who were there, women?
Yes, uh-huh. Nearly all I went. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And who did they have you report to?
Well, they brought you to the supervisor and said, this is Isabel Arwin, she's going to work in your department, for you in your department, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Was the supervisor a woman?
It's a man.
A man?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And about how many people were there in that department? Mm-hmm.
Well, it got to be an awful, about 150 later on, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we didn't have, they had 2 or 3 benches, and women were working on these benches.
Mm-hmm. So it was work that you did to,
hmm?
You sat at a bench?
Well, at first we stood up.
Mm-hmm.
We were assembling these things in there, and I still hear from the girl. I didn't know how to do the job, so I'd go over and borrow her tools and look, see what you're doing there, and I'd go back and fix mine. Stinking, wasn't I? But she didn't mind, but some of the others did.
Mm-hmm. Did they talk to you at all about there was no school or training?
No.
Did, when you first went to work, who showed you how to do your job? Did they train you on the job at the time? Or?
No. I actually worked when I first started, you know.
So you reported to the supervisor, and then what happened from there?
Well, he says this is this, and has to go in here, and here's the picture, and this is the way you're supposed to do it. So, and you have to, they have terminal strips, you have to put a lot of wires on there, and you have to lug the wire and put it on, and this wire has to go there, and that one has to go here. That, had all the numbers and of the wires, and the wires was all numbered.
Mm-hmm. Was it different from the radio work?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. How did you feel about it?
I was happy.
Uh-huh. Were you nervous at all with that?
No, I don't think I was nervous because everybody was kind and nice to me.
Mm-hmm. What was the, so when you first started, did you learn basically just by what he had told you? And
well, and when I didn't know anything all the time I was there, I would go ask, you know, and that's the only way you learn.
Mm-hmm. And just by, would the other women around you help you?
Well, this one girl, she's in, had been there 2 or 3 weeks or maybe longer, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But she left me as soon as they had girls go down on the line, she went down on the line and she became an inspector and made more money and everything than I did.
Mm-hmm.
She went farther ahead, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't think I could climb around on those planes like she did.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, I did.
Mm-hmm. Now, at first, you stayed in this.
Stayed in that same department for 3.5 years on swing,
uh-huh.
And I got to be lead man. If only they don't, you're a lead woman, but the bad says man, though they wouldn't put the women on it. So I'm a lead man.
Uh-huh.
And I had lots of women working for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just was blessed, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first, you said that they had you work in an area where there were several benches and then a supervisor. How was it set up in terms of what levels were there in terms of the lead man or woman and the foreman and the supervisor? What sort of order did that come in?
Well, they had an office and they had a supervisor of that, and then he had several lead men. They had plumbing and rigging, and they had all kinds of different departments where you had there's other departments where women did a lot of sewing and things for the upholstering, and they were heavy jobs. Mm-hmm. And then your cabin trim, like in the cabins, they put up shelves and different things like that. But there was a lot of different jobs.
Uh-huh.
And riveting was a lot of things, a lot of riveting, drilling holes and things that I didn't do that until after the war was over. I had more seniority than the rest of the girls, so I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a job with a man, and I didn't know at the time that I was to replace him, because
mm-hmm.
I had more seniority.
Mm-hmm.
But he showed me how to drill, and he'd do all the drilling, and I'd do all the wiring. And then we'd take these things and put it in the airplane, and he had to have any parts or anything, I'd run all the errands and get all that, and or prints or anything, and he installed all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just helping him out. And then all one day, here they said he was going to be transferred to another lower classification, and then I was going to have to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it happened.
And that happened after the war
was over, yeah, because they let all the women go mostly.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you started in 41, though, there were already other people in your department, women who had been working there.
Yeah.
Had they been there very long?
I don't think so, not too long.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So,
about 6 months, I think, one girl had more seniority than I did at the end, and I think she had 6 months more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Seniority didn't mean too much to me, but it did to a lot of the others, you know.
Mm-hmm.